All right, let's look in the book of Revelation, chapter number 20. Revelation, chapter number 20. I want us to look at this today. I've been on Wednesday nights for some time. I have been dealing with the judgments, and I got this on my mind, and I know it's Memorial Day weekend. I realize that, thought about some areas in that way, but God would not let me leave this, and so we're going to endeavor to preach what God has laid on our heart. You pray God to have his way and speak to hearts today. He always knows what he's doing. I don't, but he does. And he has a purpose and a reason for it. And I pray that God will speak to somebody's heart and do that that is needful in this hour. In Revelation chapter number 20, we'll start reading at verse number 11. Stand, please, while I read the word of God. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's a serious matter, is it not? Think about being cast into the lake of fire. God's precious word is truth. God has never failed anything that's untrue. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege that we have to be in the house of God. I thank you today, Lord, for the time that we have to be here. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll bless what has preceded this. I ask you, God, to take every song that's been sung and speak to our hearts. And then, Father, I pray that you'd help us now as we think about those who died in the service of our country. I pray for them and ask you, Lord, to help them. Families that remember them, families that think about them. And, Lord, we are thankful as a country, as a nation, and as individuals for those who have fought and died and gave that supreme sacrifice so that we could be free and we might be here today. I thank you for that. I thank you for those who served in the country, service of our country in every war. Then I thank you, Lord, for those who are serving in our country, serving for our country right now. I pray you bless them and help them, their families. And then, Lord, we realize the greatest service that ever is given is the service of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, for the power of God be upon us now to preach. I need you. I need your help. And, Father, we're coming in a time and a message, Lord, that you've laid upon our hearts that's a serious matter and the most serious in all the world. And so I pray in Jesus' name that it not just be a time that we sit in the house of God, but, Lord, may we listen and may we hear what God has to say. And I pray the Holy Ghost will make it real to every heart, every individual. And Lord, real conviction be come upon folk. And I pray, God, those that know not the Lord Jesus Christ would realize their need and repent and be saved. Help those who are saved and their lives are less than what you would have them to be. They're falling afar off. They're cold, indifferent, away from God. I pray today be the day you touch their hearts and help them. Lord, we thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, I plead the blood. Claim that victory. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This being the final judgment that we're coming to, and I have tried in the past to share with you, and I pray that God would take all that we've said and use it. We talked about the judgment at Calvary when God judged sin as it, for all men, and Jesus died for our sin, paid our debt, rose from the dead. I praise God for that judgment. Amen. Thank God for it. Then as sons, God chastens those that he loves. He judged sin in our life. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so he does that. Then we talked about the fact of being at the judgment seat of Christ, those who are saved, those that know Jesus Christ, when they pass away. And when Jesus comes and raptures out the church, there'll be a judgment seat. And we'll all be there that are saved, and we'll give an account to God. Give an account to God. Now that to me is a sobering thought. To stand before the one that died for me, the one that gave his life for me, and to give an account to him for my Christian life. And that's serious business, and I pray God would help me to always remember that I must give an account to him. And then we talked about the fact that judgment and tribulation period when God judges the world. The world tonight lives in sin and thinks it's getting by with it. And the world goes on, as it were, its merry way. But God's still on the throne. God's still in charge, and God will one day bring judgment upon the earth. And we may begin to see a prelude to that now, but it'll get much worse in tribulation period. The rapture of the church, and Jesus comes, takes us out that are saved. By the way, let me plug this in. If you're not saved, you're not going in rapture. You'll be left. But if you're saved, you'll leave out with us. But then we talked about the fact, after all that, that Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation period, 7-year tribulation period. Jesus comes back to set up an earthly kingdom and to rule and reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. There will be 1,000-year reign upon this earth. And the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as waters that cover the sea. And Jesus will rule and reign from Jerusalem. Now there'll be a judgment of the nations at that time. And it'll mainly concern their relationship and how they've treated Israel. But there will be a judgment of the nations at the end of the tribulation period. Then it starts the 1,000-year millennium reign. Now, last Wednesday night, we wound up with the devil being cast into the lake of fire in chapter 20. The devil being, not the lake of fire, but the devil being cast into the bottomless pit where he's chained and where he's sealed and where he's kept for 1,000 years. There will be 1,000-year reign upon this earth, and the devil will not be free to roam the earth. I say glory, hallelujah. What a time that'll be. I'm glad I'm going to be in that number. Amen. To be living with him on the earth 1,000 years and the devil be chained and put in a bottomless pit and sealed up. But he talks about in verse number 4. He said, I saw thrones and they that sat upon the throne, judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, that is the Antichrist, neither his image, neither received his mark upon the foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now notice what else is, now this is those who were martyred during the tribulation period. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Jesus Christ was the first fruits of the first resurrection. And then the rapture, there'll be resurrection. And we know there was some Old Testament saints resurrected. And I'm not going to get in all the theology of that. They were resurrected during the after Jesus resurrected. And the Bible really doesn't tell us exactly what happened after that. But we know some were. Then we know that here he's saying the tribulation of saints were resurrected. We know that. And all that included the first resurrection. And I'm glad for the first resurrection. Notice what it said. Verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ. And shall reign with him 1,000 years. 1,000 years is mentioned 6 times in the book of Revelation chapter 20. It's a reality. The millennium is a reality, and we will live and reign. That's when the lion, the lamb will lay down with the lion, and they're not going to be in killing, all that stuff. Be safe for children to play with poisonous animals, and it's going to be a wonderful time on the earth. Now, then when that comes to a close, it will come to a close. And notice Satan's bound for that 1,000 years. You said, preacher, I thought we was going to talk about the great white throne judgment. I'm getting to it. Just give me a little minute. I'm heading that way. I want to set the setting. I want you to get the timing of it. I want you to know when it is and what takes place at it. And I'll try to get through that if you'll bear with me. And this is serious business today we're talking about. Of course, anytime you're preaching Bible, it's serious. Amen. Anytime preaching the word of God, it's serious business. And so I pray God give us liberty to preach. And God touch this congregation as I preach. If ever we need a time of convicting power of God to work, we need it now. We need God to work in hearts and God to speak to life. People we live and talk like and the world acts like that there's never going to be a judgment, never going to be any answering to God. Never going to be wind up of this thing. It is going to wind up one day. And we're going to live forever with Jesus that are saved. First resurrection's over. And we enter now in that 1,000-year millennium reign, according to what I'm preaching, and read from the word of God. Now notice verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now Satan will be loosed out. I've been asked about that. Why will Satan be loosed? Well, why was he loose in the Garden of Eden? Why did God allow him to go there and tempt Eve? I think the same reason why he's letting him loose here. And there is a God wants our worship by choice. And Satan is that instrument God allowed to be in the world to pull away from. Man has pulled between the two and makes a choice. And so he said, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. Now this comes at the end of the 1,000-year reign. And 1,000 years Christ has ruled and reigned from Jerusalem. Now remember, there'll be people born and living during the period that will live on into the millennium, that will have children and live up and grow up and have children. And so there'll be a generation living, and some believe they'll live upwards toward 1,000 years like it did before the flood. And there'll be a generation living that Satan hadn't been tempted, that Satan hadn't been loose, and he's going to be loose. You would think after 1,000-year reign, but God is showing us and proving to us that man left himself does not choose the right. He always chooses wrong. And so God had to intervene. And give God, you ought to give God glory today that he loved you enough to save you. He loved you enough to let Calvary happen so you could be saved and be born in the family of God. Now look at verse number 9. After he turned loose, he went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city, and that's talking about Jerusalem, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire in brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Now they were put there 1,000 years previous. At the end of the tribulation, the Antichrist, the false prophet, are put in the lake of fire. 1,000 years later, the devil is put in the same place. Beast and false prophet are there and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And what a sad commentary that is. And be tormented forever and forever. And so this is a lake of fire now they're cast into. Then we come to the great white throne judgment. When does it happen? It happens at the end of the 1,000-year reign. It is after all this generation has passed. God has let Satan been bound. Satan has been loosed. The man again follows Satan. And God burns it up. You find in chapter 21. The book of Revelation, he said, I saw a new heaven, new earth. And so undoubtedly when God burns it up there, at the end he burns everything up, the whole earth, the atmosphere around it, and He makes a new heaven, new earth. Not a new heaven where God reigns, but a new heaven where the heavenly bodies are. And God lets that all burn and is destroyed. Now we come to the great white throne judgment. We come to the end judgment, the end time. And it certainly is the end of it. That's a new heaven, new earth after that. We go into the eternity of eternities. And we enter into, but God has saw fit to give us up to this point what's going to happen. After the chapter 22 of Revelation, he didn't tell us what comes after that. But we're going to live forever if we're saved with him. And I believe we'll forever be learning something new. And we'll forever be, I don't know, worlds to come or what's out there. But I do know this, that I'm saved by the grace of God. I will live with Jesus forever and forever. And there'll be no end to that. And our sorrows, our troubles, our disappointments, and all will be over. And I say, glory, hallelujah. What a day that will be. Amen. Thank God for reality. But now we come to the judgment, great white throne judgment. That great white throne judgment comes at this time. I've got the setting set for it, the time of it. The first resurrection is over. And now we're talking about this last judgment. And the second death. And remember, death is separation from God. And here we are, separation. Now, for a saved person, we never die. You say, preacher, saved people do die. Physically, they die what we call death. But really, they don't. The Bible calls it sleep. And they just rest in the grave until the rapture comes and their soul spirit's yonder with Jesus. And that's not death. Death is separation from God. And so I'll never die. Hallelujah. I believe I'm about 25 years younger. I'd run around the building one time just to say praise God. I'll never die. Aren't you excited about never dying? I mean, never dying. I'm living forever and praising God forever. I say hallelujah. Praise God. You say, preacher, you get too excited. You get too emotional about all this. It's worth getting excited about and getting emotional about. Amen. They go to ball games and hoop and holler and cry out. We come to the house of God and act like nothing to shout about. Nothing to say, glory, hallelujah. Amen. I say glory, hallelujah. Gonna live forever. Better than any touchdown ever be made. It's better than any goal that ever be shot. It's better than any home run ever be hit. It's better than any whatever they call that thing when they hit the soccer ball in the, I guess a goal, whatever it is. It's better than all that. Amen. Amen. Glory. Live forever and forever. I say hallelujah. I'm glad I live forever and forever. Now, we're looking at the great white throne judgment. Let's look at the seat. I saw a great white throne. And so that's the seat of it, a great white throne. A great, there's none greater than this. There's been thrones of kings, and they talk about the Queen of England, and the prince has been over here in the States and all that kind of stuff. That's not even a drop in the bucket. We're talking about the greatest throne that's ever been. Kings have sat on thrones, Nebuchadnezzar, and you read about them in the Bible, and they ruled great reigns. But I can tell you right now, there's been no throne like his throne. There's a great throne that Solomon built and covered with high. There ain't never been a throne like his throne, the great white throne. It's no greater than it, no authority over it. And said, great white. White speaks of purity. Ain't never been any one throne purer than this throne. They brought people before Solomon. You remember when they brought the two women arguing about the baby? And Solomon's wisdom, he said, cut the baby in two. And the mother cried out, don't do it. And he said, that's the mother, give it to her. And that it was wisdom, there was purity. And he wanted to do what was right. But none been as pure as this white throne. It was total pure. And then as a throne and rule and reign. So praise God for that. Now let's talk about the sovereign judge, him. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there's found no place for them. That him is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the ruler of all. In John chapter 5, in verse number 22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will do the judging. He'll be the judge. The Lord, the one that we have preached, the one that died at Calvary, the one that rose from the dead, the one that ascended back, the one that's coming to get us in rapture, the one that rules and reigns. He'll be the one set on the throne. And that day, he's the one today that they say, don't pray in Jesus' name. Well, in that day, Jesus will sit on the throne. Hallelujah. In that day, there'll be nobody saying, don't mention Jesus. It'll be Jesus sitting on the throne. Jesus, sweetest name I know. Jesus, the sweetest one I've ever heard of. Hallelujah. I'm glad for Jesus. Amen. In that day, there'll be nobody making fun of Jesus. It'll be Jesus. There'll be nobody drawing some drawing and making depicting him in some kind of sinful act. He'll be he that is holy, holy, holy. And he that sits on that throne, and all heaven and earth will even pass away at his presence that day. In that day, I want you to get the thrill. I want you to get the feel. I want you to get what it's going to be like to some degree as much as we can in this body. I don't believe we could take it all in this body if we could actually visualize and get it in our minds and hearts exactly what it'd be like in that day. We would not even live. We'd die right on the spot. Because of the holiness and the glory of that day when that one sits on the throne and they are made fun of and rejected and turned their back on and wrote about and despised and all the rest of it. When he sits on the throne and heaven and earth will pass away. And be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, he'll also reap. Not only in this life, but the great white throne, there's going to be a time of judgment. Now notice the third thing, the subjects. Verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great. Small and great, that means those that were seemingly common citizens of this world and those who stood out as being great in this world stand before God. And the books were open. And we'll skip that part for right now. Look at verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Now notice, death, the grave gives up the dead. Sea gives up the dead. Death and hell give up the dead. Now all the first resurrection's over. These unsaved coming out of the grave. And wherever they are, they're coming out. And hell giving up the dead. All those burned up back there that rejected at the end time when Satan was loosed, they'll be there. Notice it in verse 15, and whosoever is not found written in the book of life, that includes all the unsaved. Every unsaved that's ever lived will be at the great white throne judgment. They'll be there. There'll be those who have said, I don't have to listen to God. I don't have to believe this book. I don't have to pay attention to that preacher. I don't have to hear what's going on down the house of God. I can ignore all that and do my thing. There'll be a day you'll not ignore the Lord Jesus. There'll be a day that you'll have to face him. There'll be a day that you'll bow before him. I'll get to that in a minute. But I'm telling you right now, the people that'll be there will be those who have blasphemed God. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8 of chapter 21. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Did you hear that? All those today that they laugh at, and they think pornography's fun, and they think it's something to be laughed at, and adultery, they think it's something to play with, and cursing, and drinking liquor, and taking drugs, and all that. They think, that's life, that's living. That's someday before God, when they stand at the great white throne judgment, they'll find out that wasn't fun. They'll find out it was an awful thing to be doing. They'll find out in that day how they regret it. There'll be regrets at the great white throne judgment. There'll be those Madeline O'Hire that did so much to get prayer taken out of school. There'll be a day she'll stand there and tremble before Jesus Christ. There are those that have mocked at, made fun of old time salvation, made fun of old time preaching and singing. There'll be that crowd that'll stand there and tremble and shake when Jesus sits on the throne. They behold him that is altogether lovely. But at that day, and that time, they'll see him as the judge of all judges, the holy of all holies, the Lord of all lords, King of all kings, set upon the throne. And that crowd will be there. They'll all be there. There are those today that they take it so lightly and try to make fun of. And there are those that's in authority. And there are those that have the sayings today. And they have all their, and I was talking Wednesday night, mentioned about, I heard recently about some kind of a gay pride march and all. And I have all that stuff you want to. There'll be a day when you stand before Jesus. It'll not be any pride. Pride, there'll be no pride in the sire. It's going to be all broken then. It's going to be all torn down then. And when you stand there, and nobody be proud of sin. Nobody be proud of their lifestyle outside of being those that know not the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll be there. They're going to be there. May God help us realize they'll be there. But I want you to look at the source of the judgment. Look at verse 12. And the books were breaking in on it. They'll stand before God and the books were open. Books, plural. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And verse 13, the latter part of that verse, they were judged every man according to their works. And then verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so it's the book of life, the word of God. Let me say, first of all, the word of God will be there. This blessed book will be there. In that day, the word of God has been mocked at, laughed at, thrown aside, walked on, spit on, tried to burn it up, tried to destroy it. But in that day, it'll be there. It will be there. And the books will be there. That is the records of their life. And they'll be judged, every man according to their works. Now let me make this very plain today. You don't go to heaven because of your works. And you don't go to hell because of your works. Amen. All your good works does not get you to heaven. That's not what judgment's about. You go to heaven because you are born again. Saved. Washed in the blood of Jesus, made a new creature in Christ. That is the only reason that you go to heaven, is because you're saved, period. And the only reason, because you're a sinner, and God hates sin, but you go to hell rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and saying no to him. And these works, they're judged according to the works. You say, preacher, saved people are judged for their works to receive rewards or lose rewards. What about the unsaved? Well, look back with me, Luke chapter 12. Bible doesn't say a whole lot about it, but it does give us a hint of it. In Luke chapter 12, verse 47 and 48, I want you to listen to what God says. It gives us just a small hint. Hell's going to be hell, and the lake of fire is going to be the lake of fire regardless. But notice what it said in verse 47. And that servant, this is Luke 12, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes, for unto whomsoever much is given of him shall much be much required. And whom men have committed much, him shall they ask the more. And what he's saying is, those that know, they'll be beaten with many stripes, and those that didn't know, few stripes. I think what he's saying is, as sure as in heaven, there'll be rewards according to our works and our motives and attitudes. And in hell, in the lake of fire, I believe there'll be those that'll be punished more than others because they heard, they knew, and they had opportunities that others may not have had. And God is always holy. God's always right. But be separated from God is a second death. Regardless of what else happens, that's what's going to be terrible. I'll get to that sentence in just a minute and I'll be finished. But I'm trying to tell you about the great white throne judgment. As the books are open, and why would they be open? First of all, to give God glory. Every knee in Philippians 2:9 said, wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name that's above every name, that's the name of Jesus. That every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What did he mean? He means exactly what he said. Every tongue's going to confess, every knee's going to bow. And someday those who have rejected, those that laugh at, and those today that make fun of, and those today that have nothing to do with the church or with God or with the Word of God or with being saved or the blood of Jesus, there'll be a day they'll bow and they'll confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There are some today that act like and try to make like they're never going to bow. No, they will bow one day. Well, then they'll bow there, getting on and giving God glory, but they'll be sentenced by the Lord Jesus himself, realizing they have rejected him and said no to him. Look in verse 27 of chapter 21, Revelation. John, talking about it, that New Jerusalem, heavenly city. Thou shalt in no wise enter into it. Anything that defileth neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. They'll look in the book of life and their names will not be found. I'm glad I'll be there when the roll is called up yonder. I'll be there. Amen. I'll be there when the roll's called. My name's in the book. Amen. Praise God for being there. Now let me talk about the sentence and I'll try to bring it to a close in just a few moments. Look in verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The severity of that we cannot imagine. But I remember old Mark chapter 9. I'll not take time to read it, but it talked about it'd be better to cut your arm off than be cast in the lake of fire. That we better cut your leg off or punch your eye out than be cast in the lake of fire. What he was saying was, it's better anything happen than go to hell. Sometimes we see tragedies take place and somebody gets saved right at the very end, or somebody gets saved because of that tragedy, and we talk about what a great tragedy. It'd be better to have a tragedy and get saved and go to heaven than not have the tragedy and go to hell. It'd be better somebody be proud. I told you about a lady up in Virginia that I worked with her husband for a while, and he'd asked me to go see her. She was dying. And she's laying on a bed. She had been a beautiful young lady. She had went to the party. She'd won. Everybody wanted to dance with. She was the one everybody looked to and all of that. But she said, "Preacher, one day something happened to my body and it began to get weak and I couldn't get on the dance floor. I couldn't go out and party, but said, I'm so thankful it happened to me. I'm laying here today, I'm dying, but I'm glad I am. I'm glad I have what I have because I was going to hell the way it was. But Jesus came by. Jesus got my attention and I got sick, but I realized I needed to get saved. And I got saved. Now I'd rather be like this than be out there like they are." I said, "Amen." Hallelujah, I would too. I remember reading a story years ago about a man's little girl that died. And he got real upset, blamed God about it, went out to chop some wood. As he got the axe and got ready to chop the wood, an insect bit him. Just before he did that, he reached up his fist to heaven and shook it and said, "Why don't you pick on somebody your own size?" Then he started to cut wood, but that insect bit him. He started getting sick. 3 days later, he died in agony, screaming and crying. You don't mock God and get by. God has the final word. I read about a young man some years ago that was out on the field. There was some sheep in the field, and he and three friends were out there beside of a river. And he was making fun, mocking about being no God and all that. And his family tried to win him, tried to get him saved. No, he paid no attention, making fun, making light of it. He grabbed a sheep and pulled it out in the water, said, I'm just going to baptize this sheep, making fun. Somehow the sheep got to struggling, and drug him under the water. And this, here's the amazing thing about that story. The three men standing on the bank, they said, "We saw what was happening. We saw he was in water, not deep enough to cover his head. But we saw him go under and the sheep and him struggling, and he didn't come up." Said, "We could have went out and got him. But said it felt like it was armed bands of steel around us. We couldn't move. We tried to move. We could not move." I believe with all my heart, God froze him right there. Let that man die and go to hell. And he'll be at the great white throne judgment. And he'll be reminded of that day he led that sheep out in that water. And he died like that. That man that shook his fist at God, he'll remember. He'll remember that day he shook his fist at God. And he'll bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. Too late. Too late. But you know what's sadder than that? There'll be folks that sit on Baptist church benches Sunday mornings and Sunday nights that they knew they ought to get saved, really get saved. There'll be those that played church. They knew the language. They knew the acts. They knew all of that. But they refused to bow before God and really admit it. They'll be at the great white throne judgment. They'll also bow. They'll also regret every time they said no to Jesus. I've tried to share my heart with you today about the great white throne judgment. It is going to happen. Unsaved will be there. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every person in this house will either be at the judgment seat of Christ, which is for saved folk, or the great white throne judgment, which is for the unsaved folk. Which one are you going to be at? What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Do you really know him? Is he really your Savior and your Lord? I'm asking you that question. I am not trying to make you do anything except I'd love to lead you to Jesus. I'd love for you to get saved and not go to hell. I'd love for you not to be at the great white throne judgment and be cast in the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet and the devil are. At that time, be screaming and crying for mercy. Today, there's mercy and grace. But in that day, there'll be justice. Somebody said, "All I want is justice." No, no. Right now, all you want is mercy and grace. Justice, we'd all be lost. But mercy and grace, thank God for it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Are you saved? If you died right now, would you go to heaven or hell? When the great white throne judgment comes, are you going to be there? Are you saved? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one's looking. Just myself and God. I'm not going to come to anybody. I'm not going to try to embarrass anybody. But if you really know that you're saved, you really accepted Christ one day, you really got born again, you know, you're not a question about it, you know that you're saved, would you raise your hand up high? You know it. You're not debating on it, you just know you're saved. Thank you, put it down. I didn't try to look at everybody. I couldn't overcrowd like this, but I'm sure some did not raise your hand on that. If you could not raise your hand, there's no one for sure that you're saved. Then the alternative is that you're lost. Why don't you come to Christ and be saved? Then if you are saved and you realize your life's not where it needs to be and you're not really as concerned about folk going to hell as you ought to be, you're not really into the service like you should be, why don't you come and say, "God, help me. I need something from heaven. Father, I pray you'd help us now today. In the invitation, may Jesus get all the glory. May men and women, boys and girls come to know him. In Jesus' name we pray, amen." Amen. Let's stand, please, while we sing, Brother Tim. The altar is open. Invite you to come. If you need help, you get my attention. If you need somebody to pray with you, take the Bible, show you about salvation. We'll be glad to do so. But while we sing, why don't you come? Let God help you. You need Jesus. You need God to help you. Won't you come to Christ today? Let's sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb.
O Lamb of God, I come.
I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. She's playing softly. You know today that you're not saved and you need Jesus. Why don't you come? Won't you just step out from where you are and say yes to Jesus? The Holy Spirit of God laid a message on my heart. God, I believe, has met with us. And I believe God spoke to some hearts. I can't make you, but I love you. And my desire is that you be saved. I wonder, right now in the stillness of this hour, some folk are still bowing, praying. But I wonder if there's somebody here to say, "Preacher, I know I need something from God spiritually. I slip my hand up, take it right back down. I know what you mean." Would you raise your hand for prayer? God bless you. I see that precious hand. Thank you. God bless you. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else, quickly slip your hand up and take it back down quickly. We'll know what you mean. Anyone else anywhere? I saw hands lifted. And I want to say to each one of you that hand represented a human being, a heart, a life. If you're unsaved, our great desire is for you to be saved. But if you're saved, our great desire is for you to live for God. God to help you. Any way we can help you after service, you let us know. Our main concern and our burden of our heart today is that people get right with God. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Precious people that raised their hands and they said, "Pray for me." You know who they are. You know exactly where they are in this house. And I pray the Holy Spirit, God, would continue dealing with their hearts. You'll not let them go, but Father, continually dealing with them and helping them and drawing them. Lord, I lift them to you the best I know how. And ask in Jesus' name, plead the blood of Jesus Christ that died at Calvary for them. I ask you, Lord, to help them. Open their understanding. Father, lead them. That place they need to be. We'll thank you and praise you in all that you do. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Are you glad you're saved?
Amen.
Amen. I pray God will help us all today. And precious folk that raise your hand, our hearts go out to you. And we'll be praying for you. Give me time to walk down this middle aisle, vestibule, and take time to fill